Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Crystal Lake, Illinois, and for 30 years held various leadership roles in a number of entrepreneurial-run businesses. In November 1973, after losing $1 million in a startup, he turned his life over to God. Since 1992, he's been the founder and CEO of the C12 Group, which equips Christian CEOs and owners to build great businesses for a greater purpose. The author of The Parable of the Janitor and the CEO, his name, Buck Jacobs. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Buck Jacobs, the founder and CEO of the C12 Group. Buck, as we begin embarking on 2021, hopefully a better year than 2020, can you lead us in an opening prayer tonight?
I'd be happy to, Jack. Father, we're just grateful for this opportunity to communicate together and to communicate with the listeners tonight and hope to bring them good news and good cheer for a new good year. We've just finished one, Lord, that was really exciting, we'll say. But you are the God of all, and we know that you're in control. So, Father, we submit ourselves to your best and highest goodwill. We pray for your blessing as our conversation progresses tonight. And for all the listeners, Happy New Year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Buck. Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents, please?
Yeah, sure. I grew up in Crystal Lake, Illinois, which was, when I was there as a child, a rural community about 55 miles northwest of Chicago. And we lived out in the country. We weren't farmers, but we lived all among farmers. So all my young buddies were farmers, and I got to do all the fun of farm work and then leave when I got tired. They had to do it all the time. And there was probably 5-6 young boys, approximately the same age in the neighborhood. We played sports together. We hunted together and so forth. We rode horses. It was almost an idyllic place to grow up. It was a great place to grow up. Town was about 8,000 or 9,000 when we moved there in the late 40s. Of course, it's much different today. I've been back several times, and it's a thriving suburb. My parents, my dad was an unusual guy. He was a Phi Beta Kappa civil engineer with an English minor, and my mother went to the University of Michigan. My dad enlisted in the service like a week after Pearl Harbor in the early 40s. Entrepreneurs were kind of the stock and trade of our family, my great-grandfathers and her father and his brothers and my grandfather. And my dad actually owned an advertising agency. So I grew up around business, but that was later. You know, that was way later. First was the athletic part. I achieved the dream of getting a scholarship, but I was never able to really fulfill it because I blew my knee out early in my freshman year. I wasn't good enough to have a guaranteed four-year ride. I had a conditional ride, and I couldn't play anymore. I'd make a long story short. Turned my world upside down for many years. I didn't know what the world was supposed to be if you weren't a jump shooter, you know, playing basketball and, you know, that was a kind of a special thing. And then Crystal Lake back in those days, if you were on the varsity basketball team, you got free flat top haircuts. It was a big deal. And so I kind of went off on an odyssey for a number of years, dropped out of school, got married, didn't know how to be married, didn't know how to do anything except sports, and floundered in my life for a number of years, went through a number of difficult seasons. Our family was not religious. My father didn't know if there was a God. What he experienced in the war had kind of removed that, whatever faith he had. So I didn't have a place, I didn't have a faith background to fall back on when my world crashed. So I looked at the world and I realized that I had to do some things to change my market value if I wanted to have any kind of a career. I began to be a learner in my early 20s. I married and had responsibilities of a family, but kind of a dim future until I started attending seminars and reading books and doing what was really popular back then, a self-help kind of thing. And I found out that a lot of the principles that I was learning worked, and I began to experience a significant degree of success, first in a family business that I was fortunate enough to get a job from. And then I sold the company. I became president of that business at 26. And the goal of my presidency was to build the value of the company and sell it because my family wanted to liquidate their equity. So I did that and bought into another business, moved from the Chicago area up to the Twin Cities area and started a business there as a distributor for automotive after products. And then later went to work for the parent company, which eventuated in them sending me to Europe to start operations over there. And it was over in Europe when I really began to question the answers that I had for what would make me happy in life and realized that I was on a track which was becoming increasingly financially successful very quickly, but decreasingly satisfying and decreasingly healthy at the same time. And I can remember sitting behind my desk. I was living in a wonderful villa 14 miles north of Rome and asking myself, if life is just 35 more years of this, I was like 31 or two there, that's not really that exciting. I'd already gone from, you know, one small business to building another business to starting and building another business, one new product, one new market, one new wife, one new house, one new car, et cetera, et cetera, adding on all the things that the world was telling me would make me happy, and it wasn't. And it was there that I really began to question and began to seek, although I didn't know what I was seeking for. It ended up, moved back to the States, started a business in Denver, moved, it didn't do well. I closed it, moved into Los Angeles, started another one, and it was slowly sinking in the sand as well, primarily because I was burned out. I was very disillusioned, very discouraged, and I wasn't putting my effort into building that business. I was just throwing money at problems. One day I reached around for some more money to throw, and there wasn't very much. And I recognized that I was in deep trouble. And that all culminated in one day. I'm leaving a lot of this story out, Jack, because it's too long. But I met the Lord by watching a television program that I had no intention of ever watching. It was a Sunday morning, and I got up to watch a football game, turned on the TV, and there was a church service. I had never watched a church service in my life, but I watched this one. And the message of the service was, life is an unavoidable series of problems, and you have a choice to try to deal with those problems in your own strength, or you can give your life to God and he'll become your source. So that's how it started.
We're talking to Buck Jacobs, and that sermon was given by the late, great Robert Schuller.
Yes, it was.
You know, Garden Grove, California.
Yeah.
The cathedral. When we come back, we'll talk about what happened when Buck gave his life to Christ. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Buck Jacobs, who is an ambassador for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
November 18th, 1973, you watch Robert Schuller. It changes your life. Then what happened?
So dramatic. I mean, I had never heard the gospel presented before. I had heard that Jesus died to take away the sin of the world, but I still had plenty of sin. So I figured maybe he left some or missed some. I had a friend, my best boyhood friend, Bob Mack, had become a Christian about 4 years before, and he had tried to share his faith with me, and I wasn't ready to listen to him, and just kind of said, Bob, that's great. I'm glad you found something, but I'm not ready. But after this experience that I had watching this sermon and accepting Christ myself, I had a desire to talk to Bob, but I didn't have the guts to let him know that I had any needs. And we were having dinner. The phone rang, and it was Bob calling me from Chicago. And when I heard his voice, I knew that what had happened the day before was real, and that God was real for sure, and my life would never be the same.
All right. In 1992, you decide to found the C12 Group.
Yeah.
What is the C12 Group?
Well, the C12 Group is an organization for Christian chief executives and business owners that is really founded on all that Bob and I learned during that next 10 years of trying to use the Bible as a business development guide, as a manufacturer's handbook, trying to operate the business under the authority teaching of the scriptures, and how we saw the Lord grow that business tenfold in 7 years and use it to know and not just disciple us and the employees. We grew from 9 to 90 employees, not all of them Christians, of course, but the principles that we learned of taking the Bible literally and applying it to organizational development in the business world were absolutely astounding and working, and the business grew tenfold in the next 7 years. In that time, I was growing as a Christian believer myself and meeting others because I was in charge of sales for the business. I was traveling and flying on airplanes here and there and meeting people in plants, and I tried to find Christian fellowship when I was on the road, and I found a lot of it, but most of it that I found didn't understand their business the way we were trying to understand ours. But when I would speak about it in Bible studies and prayer groups, there would be an immediate level of interest, high level of interest. Even it was, I don't know, you could do that, or how do you do that, that sort of thing. And I had no vehicle in order to do that. We sold the business in 83. And I moved to Florida to help some other guys start a golf ministry, and got involved with an organization called the Fellowship of Companies for Christ, which exists to encourage Christian CEOs and business owners. And my participation there with that organization led me to step out in 1992 and do a different thing. That was a nonprofit business, a nonprofit organization. And I believe it should be for profit, because the need is that you need to be able to earn a living while you're promoting the biblical application. So I started the C12 Group in my family room in our home in Florida in October. We started before that, but our first meeting of a group was in October of 1992. The purpose was to provide an environment of high trust, high performing, like-minded CEOs and business owners that had a consistent worldview, which would be a Christ-centered worldview, to work together, to hold one another accountable, and to help one another to grow a business by contributing their different giftedness into that group for helping one another. And so that was the idea. That was the business idea. I believed there were worldly organizations that did that, but no Christian organizations that I knew of. But I believe that Christians would be willing to pay for professional services as worldly businesses were. And so that was the foundation, to integrate the things that I learned in the 10 years training with my friend into the world of Christian CEOs and business owners.
All right. If you want to learn more, www.c12group.com. www.c12group.com. And these people, various groups throughout America, they meet once a month. They spend 7 hours. I want to quote you now, Buck. We really have a 23-hour day. The first hour belongs to God. Mm-hmm. You wrote a book, I Radical. The first thing you start chapter one is, I'm a radical. That's a radical. You're saying, we really have a 23-hour day. The first hour belongs to God. Mm-hmm. Fuck. I'm a young mother. I got three little kids. Okay? I can't spend an hour with God, or I'm a young business person. Buck, you're a radical. You're crazy. I can't do it. What do you say?
I've never heard that before. No, of course, but we can. And God knows it. In the case, the hardest case is the young mom with young kids, because kids wake up really early. But there are young mothers who do successfully spend the first hour of their day with the Lord. So it's not impossible, it's just difficult, which is true of most things that are really valuable in our lives. If they were really easy, more people would have them. That was a process that I went through personally, Jack. First, becoming a Christian with no faith background, I had a lot to learn. And one of the ways I learned best is by reading. And I love to really read biographies and autobiographies of people who have been successful at what I'm trying to do, whether it's work, faith, of course, the scripture, and so forth. So I was reading the biographies of people like Martin Luther and George Mueller and Hudson Taylor and other famous Christians. And I started to see that every one of them said that they began the first hour of their day with an hour of prayer and meditation and communion with the Lord. And they were quite emphatic about it. In fact, Martin Luther said, I spend the first hour of every day with God. Unless I really have a busy day, then I spend 2 hours. And so I was convicted that it would be a good thing. I needed to do that because I wanted to learn. And I tried for years to do it, and I would try and fail. So I have very much compassion and sympathy for people that struggle to do this. And so it's something that we advocate in C12. We don't demand it. It's something that you teach by example, not by preaching. And so it's been a habit of mine for over 30 years.
We're talking to Buck Jacobs, the founder of the C12 Group. The C12 Group equips Christian CEOs and owners to build great businesses for a greater purpose. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasul, and we're with a modern-day prodigal son. Radical sons. Buck, I've heard it said many times that success in business can be hazardous to a person's spiritual health. Why?
Well, because it tends to make us believe that we're our own source and that we're in control. And there's sort of an innate desire in all of us to be in control, you know. And when we have sufficient financial success, so that our needs are no longer a question, that we move, and what I say, we move beyond survival into sufficiency and then into abundance, we tend to become less concerned with our relationship with God. It's sort of one of the devil's tricks to make us think that we are in control or we are the source, which makes us less aware and less dependent of God. So the truth is that I have seen financial success spoil the lives of more Christians than I have poverty or want. I've been many places in the world where people are abjectly poor, but maybe happier than many of the upscale suburbs in our country. So there's nothing wrong. I mean, I'm a businessman. I want to make a profit. But learning to deal with money is one of the main benefits of a C12 group membership, because we're sitting around a table with 10, 11, 12 other CEOs who are all struggling with the same kind of problems, you know. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and He's trying to guide us into God's will, which is usually, you know, good, conservative, moderate use of our wealth and sharing it with others that are in need.
Okay. If you want to learn more, www.c12group.com. One of the things that they have is 102 ministry ideas for your business. You've written another book, A Light Shines Bright in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And the sixth chapter is 8 Basic Practices of a Christian Company.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is the practice of prayer is openly acknowledged and demonstrated to be an integral part of the business.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, let's be honest, the cancel culture, they'll shut you down. Okay? You're telling us that we should openly practice prayer in our business?
Well, there's different ways of doing that. Yes, we can. The First Amendment hasn't been canceled, although they will try, but it hasn't been canceled yet. We're allowed to speak, but we're not allowed to demand others agree. And we can practice prayer in various ways. For instance, in leading our team, we can let it be known to them that we pray. We can't demand that they pray. But we can say, you know, this is a problem. I'm going to pray about it, and I'll get back to you tomorrow. And then when we come back the next day, we can say, well, you know, I prayed about this, and the Bible says this, and so this is my decision based on that. They cannot do anything to stop us from doing that. We can't use it as a reason to hire somebody or fire somebody or et cetera. We can't break the law, but that's not against the law. In C12, we have a great relationship with an organization of attorneys called ADF, America's Defending Freedom. And their ministry is to defend our freedom of the free exercise of religion. And they put together a book which very clearly tells us what we can and can't do. We can't use it in any way that would be construed to be illegal, but we can talk about our faith. In fact, Jack, in my experience during those 10 years leading the sales for an organization that was growing from $1 to $14 million, another around the world, I had many opportunities to talk about my faith with people who didn't share it. And I learned nobody minds talking about what your experience is. What they don't like is when you shake your finger under their nose and tell them that has to be their experience. But I can say, you know, I had a problem like you had at one time, and I became a Christian, and I gave my life to God, and it totally changed. They don't mind that.
Look, let's be real. You don't understand my business. My competitors, they cheat, they steal, they do it all. Buck, if I try to run my business in a Christian way, I'd get crushed and all my people would be out of work.
Yeah, a lot of people think that way, Jack, but that means that you're in control and not God. God is really your source and God will supply. Now, look, we have customers in countries that where the culture is to cheat. The culture is approved. And our members are those lights that shine in the darkness against the culture. And the fact is, God's ways are good business. Following God's principles are relationally very healthy. All of God's commandments are healthy in relationship building, and building a successful business is dependent on building healthy relationships. So we can't carry around a big fat black Bible and beat people over the head. But they say most of Christianity is caught rather than taught. And I learned in my career in relating with my customers is to first build a relationship with them that was based on my desire to help them to solve a problem that they have. And as that relationship grows, there's always an opportunity to talk to them about what's most important in our lives. For instance, I'm calling on a young engineer and I say, how are you doing? He said, oh, my wife has been diagnosed with cancer. Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. Would it be all right if I prayed for her? Sure. Nobody ever says no. You know, even atheists don't say no, just in case. So we can build relationships that allow us very powerfully. The last 5 years that we owned this business, which, by the way, was in a cutthroat business. We were in the Rust Belt competing with the business from all the big auto companies, the farm implement manufacturers, the biggest primo clients in the U.S., were our targets. We're this little bitty company who's trying to be Christian, and we're going against Texaco and Immobile.
All right. You talk about the parable of the janitor and the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
Share that with us.
It's a story that I made up, really, that just illustrates a point. It's about two guys that go to work at a company at the same time. One is the janitor and one in the sales department. They stay there their entire careers, and one ends up as a CEO and the other as a janitor. And they die at the same time, the same day. And so they go up to heaven. And they go before the Lord for the Lord to give them their judgment for the works that they did while they were believers, both Christians. The CEO was always too busy to be involved in his church or to really do anything about his faith. The janitor was totally diligent and would get a toothbrush and clean the corners and the cracks of the bathrooms. People would ask him occasionally, why do you work so hard and what are you doing? He would say, you don't understand. I'm doing my work for Jesus. He is the one that saved me and I'm working for him. So they came to stand before the Lord at the end of their lives. And the CEO went first, and the Lord said to him, son, you had a good life. You are a good, honest man, but you missed the greatest opportunity. You never discussed me with your business associates. People came from around the world to counsel with you and ask you how you achieved your success. You gave credit to just living in America. Son, you didn't realize it, but I gave you your success. Well done, but you could have done better. Then the janitor comes, and he's scared to death because he's just a janitor. And if the Lord wasn't too happy with the CEO, what could he say to him? Jesus threw his arms around the janitor and he said, welcome home, son. Well done. Good and faithful spirit. And he said, turn around. I want to show you something. And the janitor turned around and here's all these people, even hundreds and thousands of people coming to him. And he says to Jesus, Lord, I only know some of them. Who are the rest? Jesus said, the ones you know are the ones that you shared my love with, and they've come here because of your witness. The rest of them are those that they told. Enter into the joy of your Father, son. Well done.
We're talking to Buck Jacobs. If he ever sends you an email, at the bottom of the email is Galatians 2:20. I quote, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Buck Jacobs. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're with Buck Jacobs, who 28 years ago started the C12 Group. How has God done with that C12 Group in the last 28 years, Buck?
It's been so exciting and just an unbelievable experience, Jack. We started, and it took 5 years before I could find the first person that would share my dream and also want to start these CEO or C12 groups. But over the last 28 years, slowly, bit by bit, God has blown his breath through our sales. And that today, we're the global leader in our market space, believe it or not. We have 2,500 members plus in the U.S. We have groups that are meeting in four foreign countries on three continents. It's been an unbelievable pleasure for me, a privilege. I'm 82. We're in our third generation of leadership at this point, and I've had the privilege to watch what God has done as He's grown us from an idea that I started on a desk in my family room to a multinational leader. Now, it's a small marketplace. We're not going to be a Fortune 100 company, but still in this particular area, in this market niche, He has grown us and proven that application of His principles are health and life-giving. And so it's been a joy.
If you want to learn more, www.c12group.com. We're talking to Buck Jacobs. If you ever call his cell phone, here's his voice message. Hi, I'm Buck Jacobs. And you know, in the crazy times we live in today, Jesus is the only true north we can have, and I hope you know Him. All right, we just went through an unbelievably crazy year. Unprecedented.
Yeah.
Are you telling us that God still is in control?
Absolutely. God's always in control. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 8:28. And this last season has just reinforced it. It says, God will work all things together for good for those who are the called according to His purpose and love Him. And somehow we're going to see as this rolls out God's good purpose in it. And if we don't see it here, we'll see it when we see Him in heaven. God is never not in control. God has never been surprised. God is never without power. God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's all these things. He's God and we're not. And He exists in a realm that we know very little about, the realm of the spirit. And God either causes or allows everything that happens in life. Some things that He allows, we would interpret as not good. Market crashes, et cetera, et cetera. But actually, He's behind the scenes working it all for good. And knowing that makes it so much easier to get through things. Our company, C12, prospered in 2020. We prospered beyond our hopes in 2020. We broke sales records through 2020. Now, you would think that a business like ours, which is basically a consulting type business, would be really hurt in the market that we experienced in 2020. Not so.
Buck, you've learned to let go and let God. You've yes. surrendered to God. And God, you've got an open communication with God. When I pray to God, He never answers me.
Oh, yes, He does.
How do I learn to hear God's voice in my life, Buck?
I can tell you how to hear God in your voice, your life. Jack, this is the answer. The Most Important Hour is the last book that I've written. It explains how I spend the first hour of every day with God in prayer, Bible study, communication with Him, and then journaling. If you want to learn to hear the voice of God, you have to spend intentional time with God. Otherwise, He's speaking all the time, but you don't hear Him because you're too busy. You're doing other things. Your mind is going in other directions. But that's why we say we live a 23-hour day. The first hour is the hour with God. And this book is available on Amazon. I don't know if the listeners will see it, but it's called The Most Important Hour.
By Buck Jacobs, The Most Important Hour, his latest book.
Right.
All right. Buck, I've done this for 15 years, 800 plus guests. I'm not the host, I'm the beneficiary. And one thing that's amazed me over and over is that God often uses the least likely to do His greatest works. And why is that?
Well, because I'm one of them. I only have a high school education. I'm no way qualified to write study materials for people that have MBAs and PhDs or to do what I've done. But when I gave my life to God, when I was praying to ask Jesus into my life, intuitively I said, Lord, if this is real, and you will forgive my sins and you want my life, you can have it and I'll do whatever you want with the rest of it. So the next day, my friend calls me, and it's been like that from then on. I pray, I lay it out before God, and he brings it into being in his timing and in his way. So yes, because, you know, scripture teaches God resists the prideful, but he loves the humble. So culturing humility and seeing that I'm nobody, he's God, you know, I have no power. He's got all power. Seeing ourselves in the right relationship versus Almighty God is a humbling, but it's a great, great thing because it gives you freedom. My problems become his problems.
How you're 82 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear someday the six greatest words anybody can ever hear. Well done, good and faithful servant.
I hope so.
When God tells you those words, Buck Jacobs, what are you going to say to God?
I'm probably going to do the same thing I did when I first heard the salvation message and the pastor told me to get down on my knees wherever I was and pray to ask Jesus to forgive my sins and come into my heart. I fell on my face and I started to weep, and I'll probably do the same thing then because I owe him so much. Jesus is the greatest impact, the greatest person, and has been the greatest gift that I'll ever have. And I say it all the time now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the life you've given me. Thank you for the opportunities you've provided. And thank you for all the blessings that I've experienced that I don't deserve. And I can imagine nothing more than being just humbly blown away when I actually see him face to face.
Buck Jacobs, you are a fantastic ambassador for Jesus Christ.
I hope so. Thank you, Jack.
Thanks for all you do. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoiler.
Believe in yourself.